Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 236, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. By all whom thou wast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless thy works abide, for thou art God. And what follows, Psalter 236, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 2. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 26. Zechariah 2. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, as saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, as saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. The Confession of Faith, Article 26, Christ's Intercession, and we shall read the first half of the article. We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator, whom the Father hath appointed between him and us, ought in no wise affright us by his majesty, or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there is no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loveth us more than Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a man and of a servant for us, and was made like unto his brethren in all things. If, then, we should seek for another mediator, who would be well affected towards us, whom could we find who loved us more than he, who laid down his life for us, even when we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who with power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of his Father, and who with all power in heaven and on earth, and who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God? Therefore it was only through distrust that this practice of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they have never done nor required, but have on the contrary steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty, as appears by their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness, for the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on account of our own worthiness, but only on account of the excellency and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is become ours by faith thus far. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have already heard precious things in this afternoon hour, a precious and rich portion out of thy holy word. But we have also heard out of the confession of our forefathers, according to thy holy word, what is necessary in prayer and in thanksgiving. And to that end, Lord, we humbly ask thee, then we need thy dear Son as our atoning, praying and thanking High Priest. It is him whom thou always heareth. Impress upon our hearts that we have no rights. We have forfeited everything, sinned everything away, unworthy. We lie under the sentence of death, but, O Lord, then it has pleased thee in thy condescending mercy that thou hast given unto the children of men, that thou hast preserved it throughout all the ages, thy precious word. A word is declared not only how thou hast created us, our deep fall, but also a way that poor sinners may be saved by the work of a triune God. And then in this morning hour, then we have heard of a very rich and prosperous time for thy church, when they have come to a little rest in this Meshach here below, that they were edified, walking in the tender fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Ah, Lord, we have begged already so often, and, ah, Lord, We are such poor beggars, but we have asked thee so often. Thou art so free and sovereign, but thou hast taught thy church to pray that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, O Lord. Thou hast never promised to work in the places of wickedness and in the places of vanity, but it is written in thy word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To that end, by renewal, may it please thee in this afternoon that thou may bless thy word, that there may be added, Lord, could it even be one boy or girl, one youth, one middle-aged, an elderly one. We must ask thee for more. We must ask thee for all. How terrible it shall be to have lived under the precious gospel and then to have to go lost forever and ever. Then it shall testify against us forever and ever. But, Lord, we have even heard in this morning that thy church was multiplied. Wonder-doing God, in these dark and solemn times, where thou yet givest a little rest, a little peace, before the trumpet shall blow, may it please thee to do a great work amongst us and our children. But, Lord, remember also thy people, that it is so necessary that thou also addeth to what thou hast given in the beginning, that thou may add an instruction, a grace, a further leading. Lord, thou knowest how low it can come in the life of thy people, that it can become so still, so quiet, so lukewarm. And when they are given to examine their hearts, that it seems there is nothing left, nothing to add to. And, Lord, so often thy people, they can live so easy with it. But may it please thee to stir them up. There can be those times that they are so jealous. May those times be manifold. Jealous of that little lad that had five little loaves and five fishes, which were brought to Jesus, and they were multiplied. Thou wast being a wonder-doing God. Lord, wilt thou stir up thy people, that there may be more violence, because it is written in thy word that the violence shall take it by force, that there may be those exercises, that storming of the throne of grace, that thou was a wonder-doing God, that thou may remember us and our children. We commend thy whole church unto thee. All those that may labor in thy vineyard, remember all thy truly called servants, those that are weak, those that are becoming old. Wilt thou remember elders and deacons? Wilt thou also remember the students in this day? Wilt thou stand on their right and on their left, and that thy word may be richly blessed? Thou knowest all the difficulties in the denomination, with the closed borders. May that be felt. May it truly become a burden. May it be laid before thee concerning the curatorium, concerning the classes, the senate, and many other committees that cannot meet. Lord, may it please thee at thy time to yet grant deliverance May we be given to see the solemnity of the times, and that we and our children may be given to hasten for our life's sake, and oh, to seek for a place of safety, a place of shelter, under the sheltering wings of Prince Emmanuel, that we may receive that only comfort, and life and death that only comfort for body and soul. Ah, oh, we have no continuing city. 'Tis appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And then we need a wedding garment, O Lord. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our dear children. We commend unto thee the many needs. Wilt thou continue to remember and uphold all the mourning ones? Ah, Lord, may there also be other mourning ones in the midst, that have learned to cry, that have learned to weep, that have learned to sigh, a missing and a seeking people, that have experienced that separation and on account of that love, a people that cannot miss thee, that is given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, may that be satisfied in a revelation of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him crucified not only in the way of revelation, but also in the way of application. Lord, wilt thou remember our elderly ones, remember our Bethesda, and those that may still go in and out. May it also please thee to grant those who by the special leadings, the particular leadings of thy Spirit, may be old in grace, that may be given to lean on that staff of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we read in thy word, that they may also witness boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. We remember all the sick and afflicted with pain, with cares, with fears, and with worries. The circumstances are known unto thee, O Lord. May those callings be sanctified, and that they may be brought with sin-sick souls under the care and the healing of that heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can heal to the uttermost. We remember all the crosses and all the burdens. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, remember all the sick amongst us in the midst of the province, where there are still many. Although we may hear that the numbers are declining, then thou wert speaking in a special way. Then we commend unto thee all those that work in the medical field. And, O Lord, we live in a time that it is becoming more and more difficult to live in that simple dependency upon thee. But, oh, do grant unto us and our children that our eyes may be upon thee, and that we may be given to trust for thee for all our ways and in all our needs. Oh, then thou hast promised, although many times it shall be tried, that thou shalt take care of us, Lord. Wilt thou now remember in this afternoon, oh, withhold not thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, grant Aaron's and hers. May there be empty vessels, and may they be filled with thy goodness. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 238, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. as Zion founded on the mountains, a God thy maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, 238, the three stanzas. In this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 2, the verses 4, 5, and 6. were God's word, and our text reads thus. And said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Our text words speak of Zechariah's night vision, the third night vision of a prosperous Jerusalem. With three thoughts, in the first place, a Jerusalem's foretold growth. Secondly, a Jerusalem's wonderful blessings. And thirdly, a Jerusalem's extended invitation. Zechariah's third night vision of a prosperous Jerusalem. Jerusalem's foretold growth. Jerusalem's wonderful blessings. And Jerusalem's extended invitation. Thus first, Jerusalem's foretold growth. Beloved congregation, we have already heard wonderful things concerning the first two night visions of the prophet Zechariah. Can you remember them, boys and girls? The first, a man upon a red horse that stood among the myrtle trees. And then you can remember those myrtle trees that is a picture of the true people of God. And when you have myrtle trees, then there are different sizes, ones that are very small and ones that are a little bigger. But the most beautiful myrtle trees, where do they grow, children? They grow in the valleys, in the depth. And we have heard that is a mark of humility. Then the last time we have heard in the second night vision of those four horns. They were the horns of the enemies against the church. But then we have heard that the prophet was also shown four carpenters that would fray those horns. Oh, it is true. Those carpenters, they are weak, they are small, and they are feeble. But now it pleases the Lord to use the meekest, the weakest means to fulfill his purpose, that his church may be built. Ah, then for a Zechariah, then how his heart must have burned in that night when he thought about those builders that had many fears and many cares. And then the question, because we have heard it before when that foundation was built, then there was the youth, they were given to sing. But there were those ancient men that they have wept, they were given to see that the second temple outwardly would not be as large, as beautiful as the first. But then the prophet Haggai had already proclaimed in chapter 2, verse 9, that the glory of the second temple would be greater than the first, and that was because the Lord Jesus Christ would enter that temple. And now, concerning that building, that Jerusalem, that fits beautiful with this morning, and were multiplied, a blessed and a rich time for that New Testament church, when so many among young and old were wrought upon, that they were brought as lively stones, as they read in 1 Peter 2, to that spiritual temple. And now we read in this chapter, I lifted up mine eyes again. Then it is very clear that it was still the same night. What rich instruction that the prophet has received. Oh, those are indeed special times in the life of the people of God. They are unforgettable times that they shall never remember. It can even be that in the life of a child of God, that the Lord comes over, and that it can seem that it becomes too much for their body. We have the examples in the Holy Scriptures, where in Daniel 8, when he was given to see those visions, then we read that he was fainted and was sick. And Daniel 9, when he has come in the guilt, when he was given to confess the sins of himself and the nation, then I read that he had no strength nor comeliness. It turned into corruption. The prophet Zechariah has received encouragement. He has received comfort. There are also times in the life of God's people, sometimes you meet people, they only receive encouraging messages. But in the life of the true people of God, then they shall also receive messages of correction, of the judgments of the Lord. Think of that little Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, when the Lord has spoken to him and to revealed what would happen concerning the house of the priest Eli. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then also in this vision, then we read of a man, we read of angels, we read of a young man, and there are different thoughts. But when we read in verse 1, and behold a man with a measuring line in his hand, that was to measure the future Jerusalem, then we may believe that that man is the same man as the man upon the red horse among the myrtle trees. Then it is the Lord Jesus Christ. When there are those that say that the man is an angel, then surely it is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ, oh, it has been promised to him in the Council of Peace, the largeness of Jerusalem. Do we not read in Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give unto thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the Lord of the earth for thy possession. Oh, then surely, then Zechariah was given to see that man that knew how large Jerusalem would be according to the divine decree of God from that never-begun eternity. Oh, then with what astonishment that the prophet must have watched that man when he was staking out that future Jerusalem, the largeness of Jerusalem. Ah, then we have heard in this morning that they were multiplied. And in this afternoon, the prophet and we with him, then we may see that Christ with that measuring line, that he is staking out that future Jerusalem. Oh, then we hope to hear that it is a very large city, that there is room for us and our children. Oh, then for a Zechariah in those solemn times, with the rebuilding of the temple and with enemies round about, oh, it is true, he has seen those four horns, they would be frayed. But now concerning that Jerusalem, oh, a desire, it was only a small remnant, but that it may prosper upon the face of the earth, and that the name of the Lord may be glorified. Oh, young and old, are we also concerned with that Jerusalem here below? Oh, we see a man with a measuring line. Then, boys and girls, you can picture it. Then he was staking out how large Jerusalem would be in the future. The same may be your father, that he is a builder. And then the building is staked out. Sometime it happens that father takes their little son or daughter along to hold the end of the tape that they are helping. And then when that father stakes out that building, then he has a blueprint to make it simple for our boys and girls. And so in our vision, then the prophet Zechariah is given to see that man with a measuring line to stake out the city. Then said I, O whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, and to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Then said I, O whither goest thou? Ah, then the prophet, then he has received a very specific and a clear answer. Can be with our questions not always so bad. When in the family circles, husbands and wives, parents and children, when they have questions concerning the one thing needful, and then especially at the beginning, then when the Lord works, oftentimes we try to sidestep the question, that we do not dare. When there is asked how it has become, why has it become so different? Why are you staying home tonight? That we do not give such a clear answer because we have many fears whether it is truly the work of the Lord. On the other hand, cannot remain hidden. Oh, what a blessing it is when we may give an answer that we have become so exercised with that one thing needful, that we have learned our lost condition, that we have tasted of the good things of the Lord. And when that takes place, then it shall be our desire, then that petition shall receive a large place. Thy kingdom come, thy name, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Then we have a desire that all people, even though we do not dare to say that we have a place in that city, then we learn that we have dwelt in that city of destruction, but then we are given to flee. Then there is that one thing needful, and when we may taste of the sweet things of the Lord, an impression that we need to be saved, then we become exercised with the church, and then it is our desire that there may be many added, that the church may be multiplied, to measure Jerusalem and to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof? And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth. We have met that angel before. You can remember, boys and girls, we had the prophet, the vision, and then, as it were, an angel that stood at the side to be a teacher, to give the prophet more instruction. That prophet was not too proud to own his ignorance, but he desired a simple instruction. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. Thus in our vision, then we have another angel, at least that other angel. We know that the angels are ministering spirits to minister unto the heirs of salvation, as I read in Hebrews 1 verse 14. But now the prophet was given to see another angel. And then we read, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to this young man. And then it is evident in verse 4, there are some that think that perhaps that man of verse 1 is the same as the young man in verse 4, but that is not so, because that man with that measuring line, when he was laying out that holy Jerusalem, that is the living church of God, that was according to the decree of God from the never begun eternity, and that lies fast in that eternal predestination, that is so sovereign and that is so free. Thus in verse 4, then that young man, that was the prophet Zechariah, a blessing. When there may be young men in the midst of the church, busy with the things of the Lord, busy with Jerusalem, and whom the Lord may call to labor in his vineyard to fulfill the different offices. And said unto him, run. That tells us of the vehement desire of Zechariah when he was given to see that man with that measuring line, that he had a desire that further instruction would be given him concerning that city of Jerusalem, where it was for the future. And therefore it was said, run. And that word in the original, that is the same word that we read of that little Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, when he heard his name called, then it was not necessary that he was called for the second time, but that immediately he ran. In the original, that word means to go as a dart. Thus then there was haste necessary. What a blessing it is when in the midst of the congregation, when there are those unbearable needs, needs that are so great and so heavy that many sighs are sent up unto the Lord of heaven, that an answer may be sent, that it may be so in the midst of the congregation, that such souls come up, that have labored with the things of the Lord, that have come up to God's house with a desire and with a cry and with a sigh, that they are given to beg, as we read in the Psalters, that the Lord may hasten to their side. And said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. And further, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. That is our second thought. Jerusalem's wonderful blessings. And one in our text words, it speaks of Jerusalem, then in the first place in the context, then it refers, there were not so many that have returned from Babylon. The temple was being rebuilt, would still take 4 years till it was finished. The walls would still lie in ruins for many years, till the time of Nehemiah in the year 445. But an encouragement for Zechariah. Then as it were, the Lord was saying, Zechariah, be not too discouraged. O builders, be not too discouraged. Because Jerusalem, that is my city, that is a city that I have chosen to make myself a name further than Jerusalem, that refers to the whole chosen church throughout all the generations. But in this vision, then it is also a vision for the New Testament church. Oh, in this vision of the man with the measuring line and of the glory of Jerusalem, then it is also the book of Acts, when the church was greatly multiplied. And now concerning the blessing of Jerusalem, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. In the Old Testament, then the great cities, they had walls for beauty, for strength, and for separation, also necessary for a church. Walls of separation. Therein lies the strength of the church. When we start compromising, and those walls, they become lower and lower. Many times the beginning of the end. But now, the Lord was telling, the angel was telling Zechariah that Jerusalem would be as a town without walls. And that in the first place implies that the Lord was telling the prophet, O prophet, Jerusalem, there shall come a time that there shall be so many inhabitants in that city that walls could not contain them, that it shall be a very great and a very vast city. What an encouragement for the prophet. But this vision, that is also for us and our children in the year 2021, that tells us, congregation, that in that holy city of God, and in Psalm 87 verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, that there is much room in that city. Tells us in this afternoon that there's also room for you. No one can say that it is impossible, that it is not for me. But what that must have been for Zechariah when he was given to see that man with that measuring line. Boys and girls, we would say a tape measure. Then you can understand it. You know what a tape measure is. And then that city was staked out for the future. And at the moment, there were not very many dwellers. Thus, room, many people still in Babylon. There was still room, a city without walls. And then further, shall be inhabited as towns without walls. We have said it already, for the multitude of men. Then we may also speak, because these visions are not only for the Jewish people, but also the New Testament church. And then the Gentiles would be included. It is true in the Old Testament here and there, a Gentile was placed in that church. But now in the New Testament, then the wall of partition would be taken away. Oh, Christ has said unto his disciples that gospel must be preached to all nations. Thus a town without walls, the multitude of men, later we read in chapter 8 of verses 4 through 6. What a beautiful picture. What a blessing. Multiplied. And then we read of old men leaning on their staff. There's a picture of God's people when they may lean perfectly on the righteousness of Christ. And then those young men, or those old men, they were given to rejoice exceedingly. Because what did they see, boys and girls? They saw boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. That is in that time of first love. Thus a multitude were multiplied. May we turn this vision into prayer. May we be given to humbly ask the Lord. Boys and girls, young and old, tell the Lord this vision, what the prophet has seen of that Jerusalem, picture of the church. It was a large city without walls, would be a multitude of men, and what else? And cattle therein. What does that signify? Christ has purchased his people for body and for soul. And what a cares there can be concerning our daily bread. And when we behold this world, the cares, they shall only become greater, more so, when we are given to walk according to this word. But now the Lord, maybe the prophet thought, but when there shall be a multitude of men, boys and girls, men and women in that city, how shall they ever be supplied for? Sometime the Lord, people of God, may experience it, that the Lord knows exactly what lives in their heart. Their questions and riddles can be times they open the scriptures and come to God's house, and then their life is declared and their questions answered. For the prophet, how shall it now be possible when there shall be so many people, a city without walls, how can they ever be provided for? The Lord has simply said, and cattle therein, give us this day our daily bread. But now even further, for I, as saith the Lord, then maybe the prophet had another question. Because with the building of that temple, many enemies against that building, and now in Bible times to have a city without walls, because in the walls there lies strength and separation, and now if there are no walls round about that city, then that city can have many inhabitants, but then the enemies can freely come, and they can capture those inhabitants, they can destroy them, or carry them away into captivity. Then by renewal. Then the Lord gives an answer before the prophet has to ask. Because the Lord said, I, the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire a roundabout. That's not a natural wall. But the Lord will be a wall. Do we not read in Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then in verse 10, it speaks of a plague, but that the angels shall be round about that people. Thus, then the Lord is saying, prophet, oh, you have many questions concerning that glorious Jerusalem that shall be inhabited with so many people that there shall not even be walls. But now an answer concerning provision, protection, provision, and secondly protection. Then the Lord has said unto the prophet, I will be a wall of fire round about. And that concerns many different things. That concerns the enemies. Could also speak of sickness. Concerning the virus. Many things that are not understood, mysterious. But that virus, when the Lord commands the angels to surround that city, then the virus can never get through. Then it shall be stopped. A fiery wall around about us people have the beautiful example in 2 Kings 6. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he is warred against the children of Israel, King Joram. And then he has made several attempts to surprise attack them. And each time it became evident that the king, the army of Israel, they were there and they have countered that attack. And then King Ben-Hadad has called his officers, his soldiers, and he said, who was the traitor amongst us? Because each time we attempt, Israel knows about it. And then there was one king. There is a prophet in Israel called Elisha. And he tells the king what we discuss in secret. Then King Ben-Hadad has given order to his army to capture the prophet. He was in Dothan, a large hill, a mountain. And then in the morning they have awoke. And then the servant went to the side, and he saw all the soldiers, the chariots, and the horses. Alas, master, what shall we do? Prophet has said to the servant, those that are with us are more than with them. And the servant, he only saw all those chariots and horses, and only the prophet and the servant. Verse 17, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then the servant was given to see fiery chariots and horses. They were the angels of the Lord that have surrounded the prophet. That is what our text speaks of. For a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. It's not only Jerusalem multiplied. A city without walls, protection. But what is now the desire of the true inhabitants of that holy Jerusalem? You know, boys and girls, that is that the Lord may dwell in the midst of that people with His glory, with His presence, with His work, and with His favor, and will be the glory in the midst of her. How shall Jerusalem now know if the Lord dwells richly in the midst of that city? How shall Jerusalem know? How shall a congregation know whether the Lord richly dwells in the midst of a people? When the Lord dwells richly amongst them, then God's word, the word of the king, say, read in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4, that shall have power and authority when the Lord dwells richly amongst the people. Then boys and girls, men and women, shall be converted. That is a sure sign that the Lord has a special favor to a people. How long has it been ago, congregation? Is there one of you that can say in this year, if I deceive not my poor soul, 'tis become all different? Oh, I do not say that I am converted, but the things of the Lord have become so precious. And Jerusalem, the church, a large place in my life. When the Lord dwells in the midst of that people, then there shall be repentance, there shall be godly sorrow. When the Lord dwells richly in the midst of the people, then there shall be a dependent life, we have heard in this morning, walking in the tender fear of the Lord. When the Lord dwells in the midst of a people, then there shall be much prayer, also intercessory prayer, a missionary spirit. Oh, then Jerusalem has a large place in their heart with a vehement desire that those stakes, as they read in Isaiah 54, the verses 2 and 3, that those stakes may be enlarged, that the tent may be enlarged. Oh, that Jerusalem, that the number may be multiplied, that may fear the Lord in truth and in sincerity. Oh, when the Lord dwells in the midst of a people, then there shall be those further leadings, coming to a seeking souls, coming to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. When the king dwells in the midst of the city, then there shall be tender consciences. Then false foundations shall be removed. Oh, what a precious promise to the prophet Zechariah. And will be the glory in the midst of her. That is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an encouragement for the prophet. And it is true concerning Jerusalem. We read in Lord's Day number 17, when it speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, but with respect to His Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is at no time absent from us. The Lord shall never forsake His church. But let us remember, congregation, there have been many congregations where the glory was in the midst of them in such a special and a remarkable way. Think of the churches of Asia Minor, and what a churches there have been, countries upon the face of the earth, where the King has wrought wonderfully in the midst of them, many people of God, and where perhaps today not a soul is found that fears the Lord. And therefore the necessity that there is a holy jealousy for Jerusalem. concerning doctrine and concerning walk, that the Spirit is not grieved. Oh, for the prophet Zechariah, but a small remnant that has returned, much discouragement, and how downcast the church can be concerning the condition of Zion. But now the Lord has declared, oh, that Jerusalem, that it is his. He has founded Jerusalem in that never begun eternity. There the bounds of that Jerusalem have been set so fast. Oh, Christ, with the measuring line. Oh, concerning that city, it is declared that there is still room, young and old. And now concerning when we speak of the Jerusalem, here it is only in beginning, but in eternity it shall be in its fullness. And do we not read in John 14, verse 2, that Christ has said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, otherwise he would have told you, but now young and old." Then the question is, have we now become inhabitant of that holy city, the glorious city of God? Has the Lord drawn us with the cords of love? Have we become a true sinner? Because for those inhabitants, what do they learn? They learn that they live in that city of destruction, that they are lost, that they are cursed, and that city of destruction shall all be burnt up. Ah, then they become seekers. They are given to search the word of God. Ah, they are given to beg that the Lord may convert them, that they may be converted as the Lord has converted all his people. Ah, that is a people that labors with her guilt, that needs to be forgiven, that needs to come to a saving knowledge of the King. Ah, that is a people that is filled with such a holy jealousy that they may have a place in that city. Oh, even a little place where they may join that multitude, that they may be a child of God, and that they may experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Ah, that people, then they shall experience what the Lord has told unto Zechariah. Oh, in the way of providence, also that the Lord is a wall of fire, then they shall experience that the Lord, as they read in Psalm 50, verse 10, "The cattle upon the mountains, they are all the Lord's." Oh, that people experience in that city that the Lord provides in the way of providence special answers upon their prayers, but even more so in the way of grace. Ah, that the Lord is a wall round about them, they labor under the curse. But when they may come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, oh, he has stood in the breach. He has stood under the fire. The wrath of God was upon him because of the sins of those inhabitants of that Jerusalem. And therefore they may be restored into that blessed communion. But now the necessity, young and old, what shall it be to hear of that city when there is so much room, when the invitations may still go out? What shall it be to go lost? And then on the great day of judgment, to see a people on the right hand, that they are taken into that heavenly Jerusalem, because we read in Revelations 21, verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city Jerusalem come down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Oh, here in that Jerusalem below, then many times they are given to experience that it is but a Meshach, that it is but in part, but in eternity, then it shall be in its fullness. Let us first sing a Psalter 133. Let us only sing 1 and 2. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. And what follows, 133, only 1 and 2. Our third thought, Jerusalem's extended invitation. The first verses of our vision speak of the sovereign and unchangeable decree of God concerning the children of men. Then further in that vision, it is declared the blessings which the Lord has laid away for that true Jerusalem. They have been chosen, purchased by the precious blood of Christ, and shall be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, and to arouse to a holy jealousy, the blessings of that city are described. And now in verse 6, the prophet has seen the man with a measuring line was a very large city, but there were yet so few inhabitants. And to that end, in that vision, the Lord has also given an invitation to the children of men that they may come and that they may find a place in that city. To that end, ho, ho, same words in Isaiah 55 verse 1, ho, ho. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy wine and milk. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Come from the north. The time of Zechariah, only about 50,000 of the captives have returned to that city of Jerusalem. And now a message yet goes out to that people, that distant land. Alas, many have found their life in Babylon. There were a few that could not return. But now that that city may be filled, then the Lord sends his messengers, the preachers, that they are given to declare the beauty, the blessings, and the privileges of that city. And then the call goes out to that people, and flee from the land of the north. Babylon, that was to the east of the land of Israel. But most travelers between them lie a desert. Then they followed the river. They went more northerly direction. And then they came to the south, to the land of Israel, to that end, and flee from the land of the north. That is the calling that comes unto us and our children. Because by nature, then we are not dwelling in that blessed city, but we are living in the city of destruction. And then we must enter that city through the gate of a new birth. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. This congregation in this afternoon, then the command of a great king, then he commands you to flee from the world, from the city of destruction, and that you may come before the king, that you may bow low, bend your knees, and beg the Lord that you may receive a place in that city here in the time, because we need a place. That wonder has to take place here in the time. And then further, deliver thyself, O Zion. Does it say in our text that people can save themselves? No, that we do not read in the scriptures. Free and sovereign grace, nevertheless, a command. Deliver thyself, O Zion, for that people to move from Babylon to Jerusalem. That was their choice. Thus, a command, a royal command, to forsake the world and all that is connected with it, to be given to beg for the work of the Holy Spirit. Deliver thyself, O Zion, tells us that Zion, there is still of those dwellers that are appointed for that holy city that are still living in Babylon. Oh, may it be a great number amongst us, and that the church may be multiplied. And when the church may receive that command, then they come in the workhouse. Then they forsake sin and the world, become so bitter. Then the love of the Lord is shed abroad in their heart. And then the Lord shall teach them that they are called to do so, but they cannot save themselves. And then in verse 8, we must close. Then the judgments are pronounced upon the enemies. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. And then in verse 10, ah, for the church of God, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. 'Tis an expression, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but it typifies the true people of God. When the Lord converts us, then we become a daughter of Zion, a daughter of Jerusalem. And now the Lord is given to tell the prophet, oh, what a precious message for that people that have become inhabitants of that city, a small remnant, not such a great number, much fear and much trembling. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Do you hear it? And that is also a prophecy of advent. For lo, I come. Where else do we read those words? Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8. Concerning the Son of God in the Council of Peace. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. That is the word of Christ concerning the gathering of his church through his mediatorial work. He is the man with that measuring line. And now it was necessary that that city may be filled with inhabitants, and that God's justice and mercy may both be glorified. Lo, I come. Thus in this vision, not only a prophecy of the special presence of the Lord, that the Lord will care for his children, but in the fullness of time, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. Ah, that has been in the New Testament, when he is tabernacled among the children of men, and then further, clear that it concerns also the New Testament, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. Thus a further declaration of verse 5, and will be in the glory in the midst of thee. Then the prophet is given to see the glory of that city, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Thus in that verse we read of the Lord that has sent one to be in the midst of that city. Thus it is clear, and shall know that the Lord, that is the Father, has sent me unto thee. And to that end, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again in the first place in the context for the children of Israel, and also a prophecy for the New Testament church concerning the Jewish people. And then the close, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. What a precious vision that the prophet was given to see. It was a small remnant, discouraged, dismayed, many fears and many cares. But now the Lord has begun with a sovereign decree, only hope for us and our children, has declared the blessings concerning Zion, but also the external calling that comes to us and our children, because the Lord, He gathers His church by word and by spirit, and then the necessity that it may be accompanied by much persevering, unceasing prayer. Ach, Lord, may it please Thee that Thy church may be multiplied, that many out of the congregation of Pitcher Butte, older ones, middle-aged, younger ones, very small ones, may receive a place in the city of God that is word, that the means of grace may be blessed to that end, and that it may be much experienced by the people of God. That is glory, that He Himself dwelleth in the midst of that people to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of wonderful things in this afternoon hour of the city of God. A man with a measuring line, a city without walls. The blessings for that city, and that Thou shalt dwell in the midst of them. And also that call to the inhabitants of the earth, that they may come and be given to beg to receive a place in that holy city of God, a beginning here below, and to be prepared to receive a place with that city with many mansions, where all tears shall be wiped away, and where none shall say, I am sick. O Lord, may it be encouragement for us and our children, and may it bring us in the inner chamber. May we be given to forsake the world, diligently use the means of grace, and cry mightily unto Thee for that wonderful work in the hearts of us and our children, that we may be given to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to desire that Thou may dwell and work mightily and wonderfully in the midst of us and our children. Ah, Lord, do it then for Thy glory and for Thy honor. Wilt Thou do it in this very day, that there may be added, and that Thy church may be multiplied. Wilt Thou now watch over us in the furtherance of this day, bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this evening hour, and may Thy glory and may Thy presence be experienced in a special way. And, Lord, what greater tokens of Thy mercy could Thou grant in this very day, when it may be heard, that Thy church may be multiplied amongst us and our children. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 355. Let us only sing the first stanza. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall never be overthrown. And what follows, 355, only the first stanza. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.